I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Sound of the horn. Welcome to an all-new, thrilling, so close to postseason Clipcast. I'm your host, Chris, back from foot soreness, co-wild, and with me, as always, he's sore from putting his foot in his mouth so much. He's Burbank Hank, everybody.
Oh, I feel a little better. I'm glad we tried to do this last night, Clippers fans. We tried to do this right after our last game, and I'm glad we waited a day. I feel a little happier than I was last night.
Yeah, last night it was just 30 minutes of scream crying
The
microphone. Oof. So frustrating.
Really frustrating. We saw some good stuff, though. I do have to say, Rondo in the second quarter. Holy cow.
Oh, the boogie, the Rondo and Boogie show was fantastic.
It was Rondo in the second quarter, and then the fourth quarter is Rondo and Boogie together. There was a sequence there where it was like, did you see the pass where Rondo half-court dropped it over the top, over Kawhi Leonard's shoulder for a layup?
Rondo passes hit different.
They hit different. And there just was a period of time there where it was something like Rondo would get rebounds, and then he would get a steal, and then he tried to bounce it off the back of another player, and then a layup. And by the way, the stat, Clippers fans, is that since Rondo has joined the team, we're 8-3. Although I guess maybe 8-4 now. So we're very nice with Rondo. We like him a lot. He's amazing.
I happened to be in the building last night, and
sure
I'd like
were.
To tell you some Rondoisms that you didn't see watching from home.
Let me tell you that I'd like to hear him.
So Rondo is such a great player because even when he's not on the floor, he's impacting the Clippers. Let me expand. Obviously, Zubats is up against probably his toughest assignment in what very likely might be your league MVP, the Joker. I don't know if his name is Igola Jokic or Blug Blug Jokic. I don't care what his first name is, to be honest. So Zubats, the stat line is very deceiving because Zoo in 26 minutes scored 6 points, and then DeMarcus Cousins comes in and literally in 2 minutes scores 6 points. So automatically you go, well, Boogie was the answer. And I kind of hear you say that. But actually, Zubats, when he was on Joker, held him to much better numbers than when Zubats wasn't on Joker. And Joker really exploded in the third quarter. Zoo did a great job containing him in the first half. Now, I don't remember exactly what quarter it was, but I believe Joker was at the free throw line hoisting up three gimme free throws that the refs just handed to him on a silver platter from some crap call that they made. But meanwhile, Zubats is in the game. And I noticed, why is Zubats not underneath the basket ready to get some rebounds? He's actually all the way on the far end of the court. And he's literally listening to Rondo, who's not in. Rondo's off. He's off right now. He's on the baseline talking to Serge Ibaka, the savvy center veteran, and Serge is telling Rondo's information, and then Rondo is passing along that information to Zubats. So Rondo off the play, not even on the floor, on the baseline, is literally player coaching Zubats, who's in the game, and I thought that was fantastic. I haven't seen anything like that in my many, many Clipper years. You know, Chris Paul was obviously a player coach, but he just seemed like an angry bulldog just constantly barking. I don't know. I just don't think the guys responded, and obviously the results are what they are. But I just liked seeing that Rondo player coaching even when he's not on the floor. And then I saw another really funny thing that happened that I'd like to share with you.
Just one? I want to hear all the funny things. I'm sipping an iced coffee and listening to your yarns.
I'm drinking an iced cold Arnold Palmer. Arguably the third most famous golfer.
We better not go
Tiger
too long
Woods.
On this Clipcast. We are moving in rapidly different directions.
And Jack Nicklaus. Anyway, all right, so.
Not Jack Nicklaus.
So the ref, who I thought the refs last night were a bunch of cheeky base turds, if you will. Dece deflection.
Boy, they really wanted to make sure everything wasn't a flagrant. That's one thing for sure. Woo-wee, everything could have been a flagrant last night.
DeMarcus Cousins had a four-point play. The ref calls a foul as DeMarcus Cousins sinks a three, and then somehow the ref just waves it off because he's a cheeky base turd, if you will. See how I'm saying base turd? So that way we don't have to put the explicit rating. It's a clean family show. So the cheeky ref, Rondo, is in the game. Some more Rondo stories. Rondo is on the sideline about to inbound the ball. The ref does this weird, cheeky, like, flip pass. He doesn't hand the ball to Rondo. He flips it up in the air in this raindrop bounce pass that I guess he assumed that Rondo would catch and then inbound the ball. Rondo makes zero effort to catch this ball. Doesn't even look at the ref. Allows the ball to bounce off the side, off the court. The ref then has to run around Rondo, skirt around, if you will, to go get his little cheeky bloop pass. And then he has to, and then Rondo just completely ignores the ref, shouting to Ty Lue, trying to get in the next play. And then the ref has to literally physically hand Rondo the ball, which is what he should have done
with respect
all along.
With respect.
And call Rondo sir. Sir-ration. But it was amazing. And that you don't see that on TV. I mean, you didn't notice that when you watched TV, right?
Oh, I didn't notice it. No, I didn't notice it. Woof.
Couple questions for you.
It was nice to see Jermichael and Austin Rivers, that's for sure. Ask me your questions.
Well, before I ask you my questions, because you just brought up a great point, when Jermichael Green and Austin Rivers were both on the floor together, I was in my feelings like a Drake verse.
Wait, what? In your feelings like a...
You didn't like it. You didn't love it. You didn't love it.
I just didn't follow it.
It worked better as a tweet.
I just didn't follow it.
All right, so I have a couple questions for you. Do you think Ty Lue needs to go to DeMarcus as the backup center first? Or do you like him going to Pat and then opting for DeMarcus third?
I would be very curious what his philosophies are there, but I do still wonder if we're not working DeMarcus Cousins in. I mean, it's the eye test, and as you all know, listeners, we may not be your best source for stats analysis, but the eye test for me is that when DeMarcus Cousins gets on the court, he seems to make big plays on both ends. I mean, it just feels to
me.
He's
instant offense.
It feels to me like he's always great. And I know that people like to sort of clown him and say like, oh, he's past his prime. But I just don't see it. I think he's great whenever he comes on the court. So I don't know. Maybe he's being warmed up.
There was a couple games ago where DeMarcus had some nice points. He had a D stat line in a loss, because we have lost three in a row, which is my follow-up question I'm about to get to.
Oh boy.
But he had a handful of turnovers. He was a little sloppy with the turnovers. Mm. And also, I would like to just counter, Serge Ibaka is our starting center.
Sure, absolutely.
Ivica Zubats is our backup center. Mm. Ty Lue is going to get Serge Ibaka back, maybe even as soon as this week. So does Ivica get the start and Serge come off the bench? Maybe. Does Serge get the start and Ivica come off the bench? Probably. So really, Pat is not the backup center. He's the backup center. And then the real question is, when you've got Zubats and Serge, who do you go to, Pat or DeMarcus? And I think that really is about the matchup.
It may be. I mean, DeMarcus is averaging already for us. And keep in mind, we basically got through 10-day contracts and then offered him a contract. But his season averages so far are 9 points and 7 rebounds, basically, and 2 assists. I mean, I
guarantee you that rebound average is better than Zubats, or right up there with Zubats. Zubats doesn't crush rebounds like he needs to.
It's a lot of rebounds. And I also, again, eye test, don't feel like DeMarcus is out there on garbage time. I feel like he's out there making a difference and playing great. And plus, you know how we feel about the sweet, sweet intangibles. We like them.
Even in the loss, I said, wow, this Clippers team is very deep. And I found that we were deeper than the Nuggets, even though the Nuggets got the win. Yes, the Nuggets did get the win, and it really burns because obviously we could have had Michael Porter Jr. Instead, we got a guy who looks like Brock from Pokemon, Jerome Colebucks Robinson, who basically stunk.
Oh my gosh, did we pass on Porter? We passed on Porter Jr.?
Yeah, because he was a bit of a glass Joe at the time, and everyone didn't know if he was actually going to be any good. And
ooh, he's good.
An injury concern.
He's real good.
I know, he's
I
very
don't know if
good.
You know that. He's very good basketball.
He's very good. I have a new nickname for Paul Millsap, which is Bunch of Bullcrap. I hate that guy. I absolutely hate Bunch of Bullcrap, and on the stat sheet, he's listed as Paul Millsap. I hate him. He was lucky that he wasn't pulling his nonsense on Kawhi when Marcus Morris Sr. and Rajon Rondo weren't in, and Pat Beverly for that matter, because the three of them would have absolutely beat him up and beat him to a pulp of a bunch of bulk. I hate Paul Millsap. I hate that guy.
Wow, buddy. Let it out. Let it all out.
I feel better. I feel a lot better.
I'm glad.
All right, my follow-up question, because I had two questions for you, is, Hank, we've got 7 games left before the playoffs.
Okay.
We have lost 3 in a row. Are you scurred or are you pervious about these 3 losses?
Oh, I'm not worried about the 3 losses. They don't really bother me. I do. Our consistency overall gives me some pause. I feel like we have been inconsistent, but also we've had a lot of injuries and we've had a lot of guys playing hurt, etc. But I wouldn't say I'm nervous about the 3 losses. If I'm looking for something to be nervous about, it's Paul George being in a shooting slump as we get closer to the playoffs. Because obviously,
it's just one game.
I know, but it was a pretty big slump. It was a heck of a slump when we were that
5 for 21. Arguably, I could have done better. Arguably, I would have arguably hit 6 out of those 21.
And we lost by 4. So that,
I would like to
that
address.
Makes me nervous because I know, and I'm not. I don't like to drag Paul George, and it's well documented in the past episodes of our podcast that we were not people who were throwing him under the bus and trashing him.
No, Western Conference Player of the Week many times, at least once.
And all of that. And also, I think it's very fair to say that he has a reputation for not delivering in the postseason. So I want him to be confident going into the postseason. It's not about me worrying about his shot. It's about me worrying about his confidence.
Mental stability.
His confidence. You know?
His swagadociousness.
So, I don't know. I do wanna go right back. One more quick thing comparing Pat Patterson and Boogie.
Boogie.
Is that Boogie went 15 points to Patterson's 0 points. And Boogie went, we talk about our big thing about Patterson, even though there are a lot of people in the media who like to dog on Patterson. We're big fans of Pat Patterson because he can come on the court and drain 2 threes pretty quickly back to back. He loved to do that for a period of time. He also he was also 0-for-2 from 3 last night, whereas Boogie was 2-for-3. But he also played half as many minutes. So I don't know.
Let me ask you something: if Pat hits both those threes, who wins?
Well, we do.
There you go.
We do.
I also can't sleep on the fact that Pat came in when Zubats was absolutely getting bodied by DeAndre Ayton from Phoenix, I believe, in our win against our home win versus Phoenix. Ty Lue went small with Pat, and it made all the difference. So I can't sleep on the games where Pat came in and made a big difference. And Serge Ibaka's out, folks. It's the Serge Zoo Center.
Oh, it's such
show,
a big deal. It's such a big deal, but we're not seeing Serge. By the way, we lost by 6, not 4. I had that score wrong. But
there you go. Tie ball game.
That's 2 threes.
Pat hits his threes.
But we don't know what's going on with Serge, and he's been out for a long time, and he's not on the side of the court in a stationary bike. He's fully dressed in his street clothes. So do we have a tie?
Looking good, by the way. Looking good. Looking like Freddy Krueger was a cowboy.
Oh my gosh, I love his style. He had that bucket hat and the bandana around. I love his style. But he owns a fashion brand also. He's got a fashion line.
He's the most stylish athlete. There, I said it.
Oh boy.
Not even NBA guy. Most drippy athlete.
That's bold. But they beat us pretty handily last night. We edged them in the first quarter, and then they just went on to beat us. The second and third quarter, they just whooped our buns, and we beat them in the fourth quarter. It just wasn't enough. But we scored a higher percentage from 3. We shot about the same amount of threes, and we shot 41%, and they shot 37%.
But our field goal percentage last night was garbage.
They went almost 50%.
We went almost 39%.
And by the way, even worse, Chris, you're not going to like this stat. They went 95% from the free throw line, and we went 75%.
Woof.
Would you like to guess off the top of your head how many free throws we missed?
Oh, my gosh. 6?
Yes.
Since we lost by 6.
Yeah.
And we are the best free throw shooting team in the league. Last I was looking at such and such.
Yeah, and it was Paul George who missed 4 of them. And it's, you know, you like your shooters to make those easy buckets. But you know, he had an off night. He had an off night. PS well, got he made still got 20 points. You know.
I know. Yeah, with 21 hurls.
I had 21 shots, and that's a lot of shots. That's
yeah, very shots. Like garbage Kobe kind of like went like garbage Kobe game stats where he needed like 50 shots to make 50 points. Anyway. All right, so look, Kawhi Leonard was back. People thought he didn't do enough. I kind of disagree in that, A, it was his first game back, and B, he was the only starter to actually make the majority of his shots. He shot 7 for 12. The rest of the starting lineup, I don't even want to talk about it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Kawhi shot 7 for 12, making the majority of his buckets, the only starter to do so. The bench was great for us last night in a losing effort. The starters really need to pick up their slack, if you will. Reggie Jackson didn't shoot well last night. Paul George didn't shoot well last night. But I'm going to remind you folks that Reggie Jackson is not our starting point guard and will not be our starting point guard in the postseason. No, no, no. That's Patrick Beverley, who is back this week. Serge Ibaka is back this week or next. Kawhi Leonard is back. I'm excited to watch him Tuesday versus his old employer, the former champs, Toronto Raptors. Can't wait for that game. We actually play the Raptors twice. We've got 7 games left in the season, and I want to address something that you said earlier, Hank. You said, man, the inconsistencies. And I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the inconsistencies of the lineup.
Yeah.
Because injuries have been a problem. But what's crazy is how consistent we've actually been throughout.
Oh, you're talking about inconsistent... our record. You're talking about our record?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, a team's
and
gonna
so
lose.
If you do the math.
Yeah.
If you do the math, these last 7 games, brace yourself, Clipper Nation, for a 5-2 finish. We have been remarkably consistent throughout this inconsistent season with injuries. So can you emotionally and mentally handle losing 2 of these next 7 games, Clipper Nation?
No, they can't. I know that they can't. It's a very sensitive...
Certainly not the next 2.
It's a very sensitive fan base, I'll tell you that. And also, you got to keep in mind, we're the best in the NBA after a loss. Now, that's hard... That's hard information to hear when we've lost 3 in a row. But unless I'm wrong, this is one of the very few times that we've lost back-to-back because we're something like 15-5 or something crazy like that after a loss. Like we tend to turn around and win. And if you really need something to comfort you, just be glad you aren't the Oklahoma City Thunder after their 100
lost by 700
it was
points,
like 100,
a sports record.
Was it 152-95 or something insane like that?
It was over 150 to under 100. And I don't even remember who they were playing.
Wow. Really crazy.
No
but,
one
but
does.
Cousins played
least 14... of all, the Thunder. They have no memory of that game.
One thing in my notes that I forgot to say, Cousins played 14 straight minutes. And for a guy that you're working into basketball condition, that's nice minutes. And even nicer is when you play 14 minutes and you get 16 points. You're going to take that every single time. So
Rondo and Boogie are so great, and I get it. Losing 3 games in a row absolutely sucks. But what doesn't suck is being 21 games over 500,
being
17
I like it.
And 6 in our last 23 games, 17-6. So in our next seven games, like I said, mathematically, if we keep our average, we're going 5-2. So brace yourself, Clipper Nation, for 5 W's and 2 losses. I know I'm going to be hearing from at Mr. Perfect after every one of those losses, and then he is as quiet as a church mouse after every W. Oh my God, this guy!
Oh, are you talking about
Twitter,
buddy? There's you gotta stay off the Twitter. I personally can't think of one good reason to be on there. Can you think of one?
Oh,
good reason?
You dog! If I got some news,
I
want to
hear.
Yous.
I don't know anything about this Clipper Nation, so I am in the dark about what I'm about to hear about. But I've just heard some hints, and I'm ready for it. I heard there's something nice that happened on Twitter for us.
Well, you know, Twitter giveth and Twitter taketh away. But today, Twitter giveth when the legendary Ralph Lawler at Oh Me Oh My tweeted CP3 should be very high on that list when he quoted our tweet. That's right, Ralph Lawler tweeted at Clipcast, literally captured our tweet in his tweet when I tweeted numbers to retire in order. I was replying to a tweet that he had said when Ralph said, and I quote, "If they do Lou, they sure need to do Jamal Crawford as well. Their multiple Sixth Man of the Year awards should qualify them both." He was responding to at Bench on a Quest when they said, should the LA Clippers retire Lou Williams' jersey in the new Clippers arena? And you and I are going to really expand upon this. Ralph Lawler says, yes, if they do Lou, they sure need to do Jamal Crawford. Well, to be fair, Ralph didn't say yes, but he did say if they retire Lou, they have to retire Jamal Crawford as well. Now, I'm going to go to Ralph Lawler's Twitter page. You go to Ralph Lawler's Twitter page right now. You scroll down, Ralph's second tweet, CP3 should be very high on that list. And then he quotes our tweet when we said numbers to retire in order. 11, Crawford. 100, Lawler. Then, depending who retires first, 23, Williams, 32, Griffin, 6, Jordan. Those are the 5 numbers I feel very confident that they need to retire.
Oh,
a lot of people responded, where's CP3? And everyone who said, where's CP3? I replied, Phoenix. He's in Phoenix.
Well, I obviously would also say Sven Nader and Bob McAdoo and you could argue Elton Brand. I would say for sure Sven Nader and Bob McAdoo. Right?
I would only say Bob McAdoo.
Because
personally.
Sven Nader is technically the Braves. Is that why? That's still the franchise.
I just Bob McAdoo.
McAdoo
was the
doesn't
MVP.
He hold every record? He's like the all time greatest power forward or
Bob
anything.
Bob McAdoo was drafted by our franchise, gave us really great years, got us good seedings in the playoffs, just had nothing to show for it in the postseason. So I would argue Bob McAdoo is a maybe, but then I also say, hasn't that Clipper ship sailed by now? But maybe not. Maybe not. I would definitely argue fiercely against Elton Brand, who literally only delivered one winning season. One.
I know, but he was all we had for so long. What about World Be Free?
But you don't retire.
You got to do Bob McAdoo. You got to do Bob McAdoo. I know he was a Brave. I don't know if he crossed over into the Clippers. I feel like he didn't, but he was an MVP of the league and a rookie of the year.
He was the NBA
right.
MVP. He should be the only old jersey that we should go back and retire that predates the LA Clippers era.
Now, you know what I think would be fun? I think what if you retired jerseys in the style of the era in which they played?
Oh, you 100% do that. You 100% do that.
Is that what all stadiums do? I thought they all just looked exactly the same. I feel like whenever I see the Lakers jerseys retired, they're all the same style. I'm suggesting like you'd have a Braves jersey maybe or something that looked like it or a throwback for McAdoo.
It depends on the team. And I think the way that the Lakers do it is obviously the worst and stupidest and dumbest.
Oh
and Jimmy Buss is an idiot.
You hate them
and I hate
so
Rob
much.
Pelinka and I hate everyone. And I love Lamar
Odom. You don't even like Rob Pelinka
because I'm going to get.
You don't even like Rob Pelinka because his name is fun to say. Say it.
Rob Pastinka.
Oh, come on, that's a great name.
No, it's two in the Pelinka and one in the Stadinka. Oh, I just boy. Don't like it. Oh, I don't boy. Like Rob Pelinka.
Don't like
I don't like Jeannie Buss.
You don't even say their name.
I don't like the L word. I actually, in my little diatribe, I actually said the L word, and I really feel bad and dirty inside. Hey, speaking of the L word.
Yes. Wait. I want to say one last thing about Jersey retirement. Here's the last thing I want to say
Nobody's
about Jersey retirement.
Nobody's arguing my 100.
The sad thing about our Jersey retirement list for me is that if I were a Clippers hater, which of course I'm not, I'm a Clippers homer. The argument I could make is that retiring all of these jerseys of guys who didn't ever go past the second round of the playoffs, you could argue has a certain flavor to it that is comparable to Pacific Division banners and Christmas Day wins and all the other garbage that gets thrown at us for not ever having won the chip. And so I guess my biggest argument would be that Ralph Lawler and whoever are the leaders of these teams when we win a chip are the no-brainer retirees. And so it's great. I love Jamal Crawford. I love Lou Williams. I love Blake Griffin. I love all these ex-players. But the truth is, none of them won a championship for our team. And that is sort of the measure of greatness that makes you want to retire a jersey. It's difficult for me to ever get... That's why it's hard to make this argument and figure out a definitive list. Because ultimately, it's just the guys we loved who put up great stats, but just didn't quite get done. So I don't know.
My counter to that, Hank, is that this is now the 10th winning season in a row. Yes, we have never won anything beyond the Pacific Division title, which, yes, is meaningless, although it means something to me.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the 10th winning season.
That's great.
In the 18 seasons before that, we had one winning season. Oh, gosh, so that's why I don't think you retire Elton Brand, because he was responsible basically for that one in 18 years. You don't retire anybody's number from that 18-year drought. You just don't. One winning season. You don't.
Not even Chris Kaman?
All right, fine.
Not even Cherokee him. Parks.
And Sam Cassell and Sean Rooks. Okay, so yes, those guys.
Rest in peace.
No. Rest in peace. Rooks! Right, no, you don't retire. You don't retire them.
No.
But you do retire Blake Griffin's number because he literally changed everything
when
we drafted him.
He changed the franchise. He changed the definition of being a Clippers fan and the franchise. Absolutely. 100%.
Chris Paul does not come here, and I know it was a trade, but I'm telling you, he orchestrated the trade. He wanted to go to L.A. and play with Kobe, and the league wouldn't let him because of the lockdown. And so instead, he said, fine, I'll go to the Clippers and play with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. And he came here because of Blake Griffin. Because of Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin changed everything. So you retire Blake Griffin. And then you retire DeAndre Jordan because he's the longest tenured Clipper in Clipper franchise history going back all the way to Buffalo. He's got the most rebounds. He's got the most games played. He's got the most minutes played. Yeah. I love DeAndre Jordan.
You can play what if all you want. But the real truth is injuries and, frankly, if we had had Jerry West as a general manager when we had those three guys and we could have stayed healthy, that was our chip. Like, I think we all saw the writing on the wall as Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green became what they eventually became. We all knew it.
Sure.
We were like, oh, gosh, we got to beat these dudes, and we got to do it fast.
Yeah,
but the other thing was we did not build an incredible team around our three superstars like Jerry West has built a team around our guys now. We were never making late-in-the-season acquisitions that were changing our prospects. We were just hoping everybody stayed healthy. And guess what? They didn't.
They didn't. But also, Jerry West came in and said, you know, Chris Paul had six shots. And Chris Paul, at the time, wanted to remain a Clipper and get, like, the league's first $200 million salary and become, like, the richest player in NBA history. And Jerry West said, and he said no to it.
But don't you remember when we were thinking, ooh, what are we going to do here to really complete this team? And then listen, you and I both have well documented how much we love Austin Rivers. But I remember when Austin Rivers got signed being like, that's what we're doing? Like, I like him.
Coach's kid?
But we're not trying to go get bigger pieces to put with these three guys in the NBA's hottest team. Like, we're like, people want to finally play here, so, you know.
We had J.J. Redick. We had Jamal Crawford. But
you know, what else?
Chris Paul and Blake Griffin just kept getting banged up year after year after year. Another reason why you retired DeAndre, because he was never banged
up. Same game. One season, like the last really good season they had together, they both went out in the same game. And I still remember in that moment thinking,
please don't talk about it.
This is fake. I remember thinking they're faking
it. Please don't talk
about it. I felt like they're faking it. They're not really both hurt. They just don't want to finish this game. Like, let's change the subject.
Ugh. What's the weather like in Burbank?
I assume it's 69
degrees.
Well, that
series. Oh, sweet, sweet 69 degrees. All right, that series was versus the Portland Trailblazers, who are about to, I think, deliver a crushing blow to the L Word. And I think we're going to help, hopefully, when we beat the L Word, because they're one of our – we only have two games versus winning teams. Excuse me. And both of them, I believe, are L Word is one of the winning teams we play. And then the New York Knickerbockers are the other winning team we play. Then we play a bunch of duds. Toronto twice. Our last four games are a road trip on the road. All duds. Charlotte is the closest thing to a winning team, but they're under 500. Oklahoma City is one of those. I can't remember the other. Maybe New Orleans is the last game of the season or something. Who cares? I don't remember, honestly. It's not even worth me talking about. But here's the thing, Hank. The L Word is slipping. Last night, both Los Angeles basketball teams lost seeding spaces. Yeah. It means so much more to the L Word because we went from 3 to 4. There is a massive, impenetrable cushion between 4 and 5.
Yeah, we're all right.
We're all right. Yeah. So the odds are we're going to play the Dallas Mavericks in the first round, and history is going to repeat itself because history repeats itself repeatedly, Hank. I don't know if you know that.
It does.
History repeats itself.
History repeats itself.
Exactly. You get it.
Exactly. You get it.
Thank you. So there's another chance that maybe we're the 3 and we play the Blazers in the first round like we have before, because history repeats itself, Hank. I don't know if you know that.
History repeats itself.
It does that.
It does that.
It does it.
It does.
It does.
Yeah.
The very, very way off, very unlikely chance, and it's never happened in playoff history, is the battle for LA hallway round one, and I just don't see it happening.
Well,
happening.
Isn't it literally not possible because we're 6 games ahead of the Mavericks and the Lakers? We're 6 games ahead.
The only way it happens is if the L Word somehow manages to hold on to the 6th seed, okay? And we somehow finish stronger than the Nugs, which is possible, and get the 3 seed.
Oh,
I just
right.
think mathematically it's not going to happen because the L Word have 8 back-to-backs in their final 9 games.
Well, 8 back-to-back games, right? It's 4 back-to-backs out of 9 games. That's insane. That is insane. And honestly, what is wrong with the NBA that's the way they're finishing it out? And it's really terrible timing because LeBron James and Anthony Davis, as everyone knows, just came off of injuries. LeBron actually said in the press, I'm never going to be 100. Now, I like to think that LeBron knows how to manage people's expectations, make himself into an underdog. But he's coming off of an injury with the longest layoff of his career from playing for injury.
And now
he's got to play 8 of his 9 games or back-to-backs.
He ain't playing all 8, I'll tell you that much.
This is bad. This is bad for them. It's a bad way to finish up.
There is a very likely scenario where the L Word slips and become the Los Angeles Slippers, if you will, and slip into the play-in tournament.
Oh, I wouldn't want to be there.
Or one could argue they're the Flippers as they flip from Mickey Mouse champions to guys who could potentially lose the play-in tournament and be eliminated from the playoffs. There is a potential, and this would literally be heaven on earth for me, or Thor's Valhalla, if you will, Viking heaven. The L Word could slip to 7, lose the first play-in round versus Memphis, and then lose versus Golden State and be eliminated as the quote-unquote champion 7 seed. I would be the happiest man on planet
Earth. And listen, man,
Earth.
Let me tell you what I'm really relieved about. that we are not in that play-in tournament. Because I don't know if you've I don't know if you've looked at the last 10 games of those four teams that as of right now are in the play-in tournament. The Blazers are 4-6, the Grizzlies are 5-5, the Warriors are 6-4, and the Spurs are 5-5. Added up, those four teams are 20 wins, 20 losses. It is going to be an incredible weekend for basketball if your team is not playing, or if you were the ninth or tenth seed and you're excited just to get a shot because you normally wouldn't. But if you're the seventh or eighth seed playing these teams, you had a 50-50 chance of your postseason being over after, oops, one loss. Not three, not four losses, just one. And you're going to go up against Golden State Warriors where Steph Curry can just suddenly mess around and get you 40 points. Like, I'm glad. I'm glad we're
just,
never going
to
be in that play-in.
Editor's note, editor's note, if you are the 7 or 8 seed, the only way you are eliminated is to lose twice. Okay,
So
it's not just a losing once. Because if, say, okay, so hypothetically, L-Word is 7 and the Grizz...
Grit City, whatever the hell they're called. You explain this to me.
They lose, but they get a second chance to become
to be
the
eighth spot.
Seed.
Yes. Well, even still, man, we both know, like, I'm just going to say again for the Clippers, toot our own horns that we are six
well, here's the
games
thing that you didn't even
ahead of that spot.
Absolutely. And here's the thing you didn't even touch upon.
Your
is
butt?
That.
I'll touch your butt?
You didn't brush a cheek. You didn't graze a crack. So 1 through 6 gets 5 days to get right, get healthy, figure out their playoff game plan. But they get 5 days off. 5 days.
Yeah.
That play-in tournament is the 18th to the 22nd. That is 5 days. And the Clippers are locked in at basically 1 through 4.
Yes. I mean,
they're obviously not going to be. They could be 1, but it's not likely.
No,
they could be 2. Not likely. They could be 3. That 3 is very doable. Denver has a very rough out. Very rough. We have a much easier out, but obviously we stubbed our toe in the past 3 games.
It's only 3.5 games back.
We could very easily be 3. We could very easily and likely be 4. If the playoffs were right now, we'd be 4. Very unlikely. 5 is just, it's not an option. So we're either 3 or 4. So we get those 5 days off. Now, the one, and this is a weird hiccup, but the thing about the 1 and the 2 seed, the 1 seed has this day of who do we face, 7 or 8, and then they find out on day 1 of the play-in tournament. But then the 2 seed is kind of screwed because they have to sit around and wait to see who loses and then who wins and then who wins again to make their game plan. Literally, the 2 seed could potentially play 1 of 3 teams. So that's kind of a hiccup for your 2 seed, which could be the Utah Jazz, which could be the Phoenix Suns. I mean, literally, the boat has to completely crash for both of those teams for the Clips to slip into the 2 seed. I just don't see it happening.
I don't really see it happening either, but it's all getting into the 3 seed is doable. But I just don't really see the Jazz have been, I get everyone's like, oh, the Jazz are slipping. They're still 6-4 in their last 10 games. But sure. The Nuggets are the hottest team in the West, 9-1 in their last 10 games. And it's just bananas to me with the massive injury that they suffered that they're 9-1. I think everybody thought they were basically
done. Well,
I guess they
promoted Michael Porter Jr. Once Jamal Murray went down,
yeah,
and he has risen to the occasion.
Boy, has he. You ain't kidding.
But hopefully he gets the sophomore slump in the postseason, please, we face them.
That I don't like facing them. That ugly shot of Jokic's where he literally shoots the hottest, highest rainbow we've ever seen in our lives, it just seems unstoppable. Oof. Woof.
I personally see our next clip cast,
we need to try to dig up some real answers about what's going on with Pat Beverly and Serge Ibaka and all that kind of stuff, because that really is where it all hinges at this point. You know?
I would love a scenario where we play the Mavericks in the first round again. Obviously, we get past them again. It's what we do. But I would love a second round or potentially a third round versus Phoenix Suns, and I would never wish injury upon anyone. But history tends to repeat itself, Hank. And man, doesn't Chris Paul love getting injured in the postseason.
Listen now, loyal listener. This clip cast is not endorsing or hoping for any player.
Oh, no,
of
course not.
We want every team to be full strength going into the playoffs. There's nothing worse than a player getting hurt. But I believe you are speaking to the irony of how many times we were disappointed by Chris Paul's body failing him, that we would match up against them, and then he would also it would also happen to our benefit for once, I believe is your point.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I'll tell you what. My real hope, now I'm going to lay out my hope. My real hope is that somehow we would get ourselves into the playoffs, and then in round one, we would face the Oklahoma City Thunder. In round two, we'd play the Rockets. In round three, we'd play the Timberwolves. And in round four, we'd play the Rockets again. In the finals.
Are you done? Are you done with this?
No, and then we play the Detroit Pistons for the Super Championship.
And then we play the Washington Generals, the team that always loses to the Globetrotters.
I don't think there's any bad blood between them, but you got to feel good if you're Blake Griffin and you got off the Pistons and they are literally last in the Eastern Conference, already are out of the playoffs, and he's second in the East. You know?
Sure. Who knows? It's so fascinating and it's so wonderful and it's about to happen. We've got 7 games left, Clipper Nation. We are about to be in the beautiful NBA playoffs. I can't wait for the play-in tournament as we get 5 days of rest for Serge Ibaka, who's had about 5 years of rest. We get 5 days of rest for Pat Beverly, who's had about 5 months of rest. But all these guys are going to get rested up. Ty Lue's got about five or six games to figure out his full strength rotations, God willing, and the creek don't rise. Is that what you like to say?
That is what I like to say. Thank you.
God willing, and the Clipper creek don't rise too high, that Ty Lue actually is full strength for 4 or 5, or dare I say 6 or 7 regular season games before that beautiful 5-day rest and rehab and get yourself right for the playoffs, so he can actually tinker with a wealth of riches, a spoil of riches. An embarrassment of riches. We are so deep. He's got so many weapons. He's got so many tools in the tool belt. And hopefully he actually gets to tinker around with them in the regular season when it truly doesn't matter. There is a potential heading into those final 2 games where the Clippers are really going to look at the standings and go, do we want to win this one?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Do you remember that? When I was in the Utah, remember when I went to see Salt Lake, Utah, and the fabled story of me winning Utah Jazz season tickets by being the best fan?
Former Jazz season ticket holder, Burbank Hank.
That year was the year that they didn't make the playoffs for the first time, and the Clippers were getting dragged on ESPN, not even social media, being dragged on legitimately on ESPN for losing games on purpose because they wanted a more favorable matchup. So it's kind of fun now that so many teams will do that, first of all. And second of all, here we are again. Here we are again. We'll have to see which matchup we really want.
I hope
it's the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh, yes, Hank. All those many, many years ago, we basically threw in the towel and intentionally lost so that we could face the Denver Nuggets in the first round, which was back then, I believe, a best of 5?
Yeah, that seems right. That seems right. We may have still been best of 5. Maybe not. Maybe not.
I think it was right around the years,
early,
one of the years where they actually
best
switched.
Best of 7 it started. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it was like 20 years
ago. And we beat them
that was 5.
We beat them in 5. We beat them in 5 or 6, and you were in the building and I was not. And you saw the Clippers' first playoff series win maybe ever in franchise history, certainly as Clippers. I don't think the Braves actually ever won a playoff series.
You weren't there, so I blocked it out of my memory. Now, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen when we play these Raptors on Tuesday at 7 o'clock? What's your pick for this next game?
Well, I like the Clippers sweeping the Raptors. I think the Clippers sweep the Raptors. Like I said, mathematically, we're going 5-2 in the final 7. I know Chris Cowilde always predicts a perfect Clippers streak, but I'm just going on the bare bones math because the numbers don't lie. We're going to go 5-2. 2 of those W's are coming versus Toronto. I like us sweeping the L word. Obviously, the L word is going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at us. I just like us versus the L word, so I think we win that game. I maybe New York in Madison. I think that's actually a home game. So that might be a
a hiccup for us. That might be our L, and then there's going to be one of those, maybe Charlotte's a trap game, and then we win out in the final two. But I don't know. I just definitely like us sweeping Toronto. Like I said, we're going 5-2. I don't think you can make that bet in Vegas, but if you do, put 10 large, $10 bills on the Clippers finishing 5-2 in the final seven.
I think we are going to really beat the Raptors. That's my prediction. That's the only prediction I will make, is that I believe we're going to really beat the Raptors. I think we're hands-on favorites. Odds-on favorites, not hands-on. Shouldn't be hands-on. Odds-on favorites.
Oh, you got to put your hands-down man down.
Hands-down favorites. That
down.
Also makes sense. But yeah, I'm hopeful. I think we're going to get right. Everybody has a bad game, but I'll tell you what I'll be watching. I'll be watching Paul George and his shooting percentage and seeing how he looks and seeing how he feels. That's my big question at this point. And looking to see if more and more of these injured Clippers start getting some minutes before we have to start making tough decisions about our playoffs roster. Clippers Nation.
I'll be watching for Kawhi Leonard. Will he take more than 12 shots? He's our fearless leader. We need him putting up a bare bones minimum 20 shots per game. Minimum 20, Kawhi Leonard. Not 12, 20. Shoot your way through it. Get back. Get right. He's only been back one game. He's got 7 more chances. How many do we actually see him? He's definitely not going to play in that back-to-back. So I think we're going to get 6 games of Kawhi out of these next 7. And I want to see at least 20 attempts per game. And if he doesn't make those 20 attempts, he doesn't have to go 20 for 20. I just want him putting up 20 shots. And if he doesn't put up 20 shots, ooh, he's in hot water, mister. He is in hot. Boardman is going to get, ooh, he's going to get in hot water from me. I'll be mad. I'll be steamed.
I really enjoyed watching that all unfold. Well, I hope he doesn't steam you. He's averaging over 50% field goal percentage. So, you know, I would also love to see him get up more than 20 shots. But we'll see how it all plays out. Clippers fans, hey, if you like our show, please share, please rate it, please write us kind reviews, please tweet all about us. And you know what? If you tweeted us, pretty good chance you're going to get tweeted back at, you know? We just know we're the positivity and optimism.
Ralph Lawler might tweet you. If you tweeted us, Ralph Lawler might tweet you.
Oh, my gosh, he's got nothing better to do but tell you that you got your list wrong, apparently. But we love the one of the greatest NBA broadcasters of all time, the best one the Clippers have ever seen, Ralph Lawler. We love him and we miss him.
I just imagine that he's retired and he dictates his tweets to Sweet Joe. Sweet Joe, activate those thumbs, Sweet Joe. Sweet Joe, tweet at LA Clipcast.
I would love that. And by the way, special shout out to Brian Seaman. Great call on the game last night. He's amazing. Really,
He said L-word. He said L-word on the broadcast. He said it.
He said it. The context L-word. Context was strange, but there's no doubt that was what he said.
It's in the zeitgeist. It's in the Clipper Nation zeitgeist. Oh, yeah, the only way that you can actually help us, we never ask you for anything, obviously, except for to support our wonderful sponsors and buy whatever they're selling and gamble on their websites. But the only thing you can actually do to help us is to click those stars on your Apple, iPod, whatever the hell it is, wherever that rate this podcast
rate
is.
It.
You don't even have to give us a good rating.
5 stars.
But please, by all means, just activate your thumbs. Sweet Joe, Sweet Joe. Give those boys over at Clipcast 5 stars, Sweet Joe. Oh, me, oh, my. Holy smokers. Shut your mouth, Mike Smith. Shut it.
We have the best listeners in the league. Toot, toot. And we just would love to hear from you. Give us those ratings. And we will see you next time. Chris, you know, I'm taking over. You're the one who likes to wrap up the show. What am I doing? I'm not driving this car. I'm the passenger.
Well, I'll tell you something. We'll be back next week, and we will finally, once and for all, see if Malik fits with this Clipper Nation squad. Toot, toot.
Toot, toot.
Yeah, I sounded the horn, Burbank Hank. I sounded the horn. How does that feel? Put that on.
It doesn't feel nearly as good as this.
But I already sounded the horn. Oh, nuts. Sweet Joe, take this down. Sweet Joe, take this
pressing
down.
Stop.
It's okay. I'm loving LA. okay.